This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome to episode 330 of the Countdown Podcast, where we drop a deuce at the theater, son! My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today, because it was my birthday during the week, Wayne has been a good lad. And
happy
he has
birthday.
Allowed me, thank you, he has allowed me to pick the topic. And this week, I decided to do the top 10 films that made us shit our pants.
But that's right.
As far as iTunes is concerned or Apple Podcasts is concerned, it will be top 10 films that made us crap our pants.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. The card will tell the truth.
Or top 10 movie scenes that made us crap our pants. Yeah. I think that's what we agreed on in the end, wasn't it? Because it's not really a whole film that makes you crap your pants.
No,
it is. Because that's a really long crap.
Yes, you can't shit yourself for 2 hours, and I have tried. So
I don't know, some of those food poisoning / whatever bugs.
Is this going to be a shit-themed episode? Because let's do that.
Name it like that. I mean,
this is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, time.
Yeah, okay. So, for sure. So, this will be the things that scared us the most or made us jump the hardest, I guess, because this also lends itself to jump scares.
Yes, true. And also...
mine aren't all horror.
No, mine are barely horror. Yeah, okay. Because it's me, man, right? You know, so...
Fine, whatever made you jump, whatever scared you, whatever put you off, whatever made
you... And I will tell you things, right? If you didn't think I was a pussy before, now you will see just what a pussified pussification I am, all right? Bitch, please.
Yeah, you're gonna... By the way, if you're new to the show, Paul plays fucking... Yeah, Paul plays sound drops of me back at me because he doesn't understand comedy.
Just enough. Not understand comedy. 98% of the reason we're as big as we are is due to this little machine right here in front of me.
That's it.
Okay. So yes, that's what we're going to be doing. That's the countdown, but it comes on the other side of the segment, which kicks off every show. If you're new, you won't know this yet, but welcome if you're new. And if you're not new, it's the recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who?
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Well done, Paul. There's no better intros than that, old man. The recount is our mail room. And Paul's about to tell you what people said.
Yeah, lots of stuff actually for this week. Let's start with a couple of guest appearances this week that you will be able to find, if not at the time this drops and very soon thereafter. First of all, way back when, a few weeks back, a couple months ago, I recorded with Jason from the Binge Movies podcast. I was on to talk the Killer Kids movies.
Killer Kids movies.
Jason tortured me with yet another round of really, really shit films and one okay one.
What's Killer Kids movies?
It's films where the kids kill people in them.
Fucking hell.
We rank them from 5 through 1. Four of them pretty shit, one not too bad.
I see. Yeah.
So check that out for a bit of a laugh as my brain slowly melts out my ears at what Jason puts me through. Now, I'm recording with him again in a few weeks and we're doing the whole Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Glutton for punishment, my man. But holy shit. I love the community spirit. It's fantastic.
It's always a good time talking with Jason. He's a great podcaster. Yeah, check out his show. And another show that you need to check out, if you haven't already, I can't imagine why you wouldn't have. Sam Hurley, Movie Reviews and 20 Qs.
Oh, you
recorded
see you
just
see
yesterday with him and Gidget Von LaRue from the Retro Cinema podcast. And Escape from New York.
That sounds sexy as fuck. How'd it go?
It was good fun. Great time. Sam always runs a really great show. It's out already for his patrons. So I've heard it. Man turns it around an epic time. I guess I did the same thing the same night as we record. So Sam did a bang up job. It's a great episode if I do say so myself. But
nice
thanks
work
to Sam and Gidget. So check that out when that drops this week, probably the day after this episode airs. So that's that. Then on to the results. Now, Facebook has done us a real fucking disfavor this week. It took away the option to put polls in your group posts.
At least for us. Could anyone else do it?
Troy from the Copy Confidential podcast was saying he could still do it, but
so maybe Facebook hates us.
Couldn't. We obviously abused the number of polls over the years or whatever.
I only sent like 3 dick pics. I don't see what their problem is.
Only 3? And that's in the whole last week. So, B-Dizzle, Billy Dunham from the We Watch The Thing podcast, do check out Billy's show, came to the rescue and put up a straw poll, right? So, I don't know how we're going to work this out going forward.
Yeah, we'll figure this out.
We had a couple of suggestions. Maybe we could just, a heart for one or a thumbs up for the other. These kinds of things people could reply with in a chat thread. We'll have to agree on something. Very, very close, the straw poll. Way closer than the comments would have you believe, because just about everyone voted for me who said they voted for me. I only won 55.81% to 44.19%.
Oh my God.
Of only 43 votes. And normally we get.
Very accurate.
Probably get 60 or 65. So people couldn't be asked clicking over. And that makes sense because we're all lazy motherfuckers.
Mm.
And we don't like to click any further than
damn
we have.
Damn right.
To.
Two clicks? Hell no.
Yeah, exactly.
One click maybe.
So some of the comments about last. And the last week's show was the top 10 plane films.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne thankfully was on track.
And you.
After the disastrous boat
fuck off, that was Wayne.
Josh Ragland, who said, got to vote Paul this week for obvious reasons, really. Paul had Air Force One in the perfect spot and Wayne didn't even have it. Maybe Wayne meant Air Force One but called it Air America.
Yeah, good one. Good one. Saw that.
Yeah, Josh also, I should mention, has started off the Scavenger Hunt 2.0.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we had the first 6 months of the year watching 31 sort of countdown-ish themed kind of films around the show. I mean, not
very cool
the concept.
Yes.
And he's put another one together and I'll put the link in the show notes if anyone hasn't got on board. You've got plenty of time. We'll run it until at least the end of November, maybe even until the end of the year. So some people are already more than halfway through and it started like 2 weeks ago so or 3 weeks ago.
Boom.
So, well, hats off to them. Ray Dent said, Paul gets my card, my vote as a card came member of the Wayne voting book, which does not exist.
That's right.
For having Airplane higher than Wayne.
Fair enough.
That said, David Power said, Wayne had Sky Captain and didn't have the ridiculous Air Force One, and he did have Die Hard 2, which sucked. Oh, hang on. And then he didn't have Men's Spell. But then again, Paul had a dog in there too. Anyway, I think he went with you. Erica San Pedro said, I had to go with Paul for Air Force One.
That was just the killer. That was like.
I think so.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Michelle Dotto said the same thing. And Blake Jarvis also said the same thing. That said, Peter Grant said, I thought Wayne had a good solid list, but would have gotten my vote. But Paul had United 93, which is the only person that mentioned that particular
I haven't seen
film
that.
There. Melissa Sack, your girl, had you and said, because Wayne can be my wingman anytime.
All right. I'm in.
So there we are. That is the result. I think that takes it to maybe 13-9, but I need to double check. It's been a few weeks.
Who cares? You win. So.
I'm not going to argue with that. All right.
Fine, hey. Just win. I don't care.
I know, bit of a meaty this week. Recount doesn't normally go that long, but let's get into it then on the other side of this music cue. The top 10 films that made us crap our pants. Scenes. Is
Jesus
the subject of this week's countdown? As you might have gathered, we're not above toilet humor on this show.
That's in fact the basis of the show.
Pretty much. All comes back to poo, quite literally in this case. Yeah, we've already had a bit of a preamble about it. Wayne, take us away. What's your number 10 most crap pants moment worthy bit?
All right. May I say, first of all, that my brain is such that it does not allow me to remember things that scared me or made me upset. It just remembers that I was unhappy. It says, well, no point remembering that cock breath, and then fucking forgets it. So it's hard for me to put this list. It's my brain calls me. We have an odd relationship. So this number 10 is actually, no one will have even noticed this out there. You guys would not even register on this, okay? But it fucked with me a little bit, and I kept it all the way through the film. Lord of the Rings, right?
Okay.
There's a scene. This is very subtle. It's very, very subtle.
I think you might have just won Chris Sutherland's vote.
What? Oh, okay. Well, I almost shot this out because I thought, oh God, I don't know if anyone's just not going to stand. But Bilbo Baggins has the fucking ring or whatever. Someone has, basically, I think Frodo comes in with a ring and it's like, yeah, what's up? And Bilbo Baggins sees the ring again and he wants it. And he goes, oh, that's a pretty thing. Give it to me. Give it to me. And then in 1 second he goes, give it to me, right? And they actually CGI his eyes to go smaller and his teeth to be bared and sharp.
That's the same.
For like 1 second. And I went, fucking hell, like this in the cinema. And then I was like, fuck, that was really clever. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it all through the film, even though it was an amazing film, which I loved. That scene made me shit my pants, man. I know, it's fucking, I'm a bitch. It's fine.
Gives different meaning to the Fellowship of the Ring then.
Fellowship of Myri, yeah, exactly. Yes. There was all kinds of shit going on around the ring.
Okay, well, there you go. I would not have known what
you're
talking about.
I don't think anyone else was scared by this, man.
Chris did mention it in the listener
really?
Feedback.
Really?
So
fantastic.
There you are. All right, my number 10 is one of the most shocking deaths that I've ever seen, which completely and utterly caught me by surprise. It's from Deep Blue Sea.
Is it? And it's actually Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. All right, go on.
When Samuel L. Jackson
giving a speech.
Is giving his inspirational speech. You think he's going to be the kind of guy who leads them all. So we will not turn on each other. You know? And then out of this sort of, I guess they call it the moon pool or whatever, where you go to get out into the ocean.
Yep.
The shark leaps out of the air, latches on top of him and drags him back into the water.
The shark jumped out of the water over land or not water to bite someone, bring him down, and hopefully slither backwards into the pool. And it worked
perfectly.
They're
smart sharks,
baby. They are smart sharks. I mean, shit.
About that.
Look, to be fair, it was quite a surprise.
Oh,
it was
shocked the shit out of me. Like, what? And then there's all, everyone just laughed. It was screaming. And everyone's still laughing.
Like, and then later on, but there's the second shot, there's a shark swimming away, and it bites him in half.
Yep.
I'm like, what the fuck? That was cold as ice.
Rennie Harlan directed that movie.
Uh-huh. Oh, he has fallen.
How dare you? That film was great.
No, that one was...
CG aside.
CG, the CG sharks were shit, but other than that, it was great.
20 years later, it doesn't work. Back in the day, it was fine.
Yeah, little Cool J, son.
That's right.
Okay, nice one. My number 9, once again, this happened whence I was a child, because it's a movie that literally I saw when I reckon I was about 5. All right? Watership Down.
Oh, okay. Which particular moment? Or the whole film?
Well, the thing is, at that age, I didn't know anything. Like, it's a cartoon, so I watched a cartoon. I expected Tom and fucking Jerry.
Instead, what you got was...
Absolutely. Because, dude, this movie... First of all, these rabbits are voiced by, like, John Hurt and Richard Pryor and all those other people, like, and stuff like that. But it's got, like, fucking rabbits motherfucking tearing each other apart. Like, have you ever seen bunnies, like torturing each other? It's the worst fucking thing ever. There's, like, apocalyptic vision type shit in here. Hawk attacks, fights with neo-fascist fucking, like, rabbits and shit. And it scared the tits off me. And then just to cap everything off, Simon and Garfunkel's Bright Eyes still makes me fucking cry because it's, like, just really fucked me. And it's actually, I still remember it now. I remember seeing the trailer to this movie with the hunters in the forest and the Bright Eyes playing. And I was like, that shit just makes me sad. And it fucks with me. But the rabbits fucking each other up killed me.
So we should maybe use that music cue to start this episode.
No, man, it's too sad. It would fuck the whole show up. It would seriously fuck the whole show. They'd be like, oh, man, I'm turning this off.
There you are. Watership Down for
Watership
number 9.
Watership Down, number 9.
My number 9 is the most recent film on my list. It was one that saw back at the very start of last year. It was my favorite film of last year. It's from 1917. Now, do you remember the scene where our two heroes go into the German bunker, Wayne?
Yes, yes, yes.
And they're kind of exploring around there, trying to make sure that the Germans have, as they were told, have fallen back and away from this line. And they're like marveling at how better constructed the bunkers are on the German side versus the shitty... UK side or British side. And then they notice a tripwire. And they've already noticed this rat walking around the beams.
Oh, I remember this now.
And the rat
drops
down onto the floor and is dragging whatever it's grabbed. And it's basically dragging straight towards the tripwire. Yeah. They're like, oh, no. And I'm like, well, in my head, there's no way this rat can set off that tripwire because they're standing right next to the damn thing. If that thing goes off, they're both dead.
Yeah.
He does. He trips it off. And I'm like, whoa! It just... Maybe crap my pants.
That's what happened. Do you remember? Or can you say what happened after that?
Yeah, they got out. One of them was blinded by the dust and whatever.
That's
right. Helped him get out. So they were obviously just far enough away not to.
Right,
it was
actually
meant to trigger a collapse, I think, rather than actually kill everybody in there, except by the fact they would be trapped in there, but they managed to get out. So
bloody hell.
It would have been a short film. That was sort of that halfway. But I just honestly thought, you only have about 3 seconds to process the rats doing this. It's like, no way. It's like, bam, oh!
Yeah, fuck.
And even the second time I went and saw it with my then fiance, I jumped again.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Oh, big impression. Mm. And you knew it was coming.
Exactly.
Not bad at all. Very good. Nice. Okay, cool. My number 8, again, bitch. The movie Signs, okay? Now, so you've got your M. Night Shyamalan, which is a movie about fucking aliens coming to Earth, and, you know, they're really scary, but you're not quite sure how... what was cool about it is that you're finding out about it. The scene I'm talking about is where Joaquin Phoenix is sitting down in front of a TV watching a news report of a video of kids who, and at this stage we didn't know, we knew there were aliens maybe or something was weird, but we didn't know what they looked like. So the video that he's watching is of like, the way it's constructed is they're showing all these kids at a party pointing out a window, and then the camera finally shoots out the window. And this fucking like alien just steps out between an alley, and it's gone immediately. But the second it happened, and the music chord he plays, and the Joaquin Phoenix shot goes like this, fucked me up, man. I was like, holy shit, that's so
sick. What the hell?
I was not like that. So fuck you.
No.
Anyway, asshole. That was like the shit. And I remember people in the cinema were like this wave. So I'm like, this motherfucker was really a good filmmaker, man, to pull shit like that.
We'll
I don't know
out
what the fuck went
if he's
down
still got it or not this week when we review Old.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay, yeah.
I've avoided all reviews so far.
I mean, neither.
I knew the thing you were going to say, though, because I vaguely recall others have spoken about
it
before.
Dude, even in that movie, there's the cornfield where like, he just and, you know, and like Mel Gibson's in there in the middle of it looking around with his torch and he can't see what's there. But there's another scene a bit like that. It's really, really well done. Science is a great movie.
If you can get behind the water thing or get past the water thing.
You know what? I'm actually fine with it because it was such a good movie. Yep. It was such a good film. Yeah.
Speaking of great films, my number 8 is also from a pseudo-horror film, but I wouldn't really consider it a horror film, though others may disagree, from 1975, Jaws.
Ooh. Now, what are we talking about?
Jaws, there's a scene in it which, up until recently, this got me every time. I've seen Jaws 10, 12, maybe 15 times. I would say the first 7 or 8 times I watched this film, it caught me unawares every single goddamn time. And it's the scene where they find Ben Gardner's boat.
Yes.
This was actually an extra scene that Spielberg demanded that the studio wouldn't give him money for, so he put his own money into it himself.
Really?
To go back and reshoot. And so what they did was they got a pool in someone's backyard, effectively put a tarp across the top of the pool, and then had Hooper dive down into the pool, and they put shit in the water to make it all silty.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Shit.
And they have the side of the boat with a hole in it, whatever. It's clipped a reef. I don't think the bite's big enough for it to imply that Jaws actually bit that part.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just swimming up to it, and then Ben Gardner's head comes bobbing out with this discordant screeching note from Dawn M soundtrack. Oh, fuck, you know.
Yes.
Because you're not expecting that at all from a, you know, particularly from a Steven Spielberg film, particularly, you know, to that stage. We've seen some blood bubbling in the water, but nothing else even remotely horrifying.
I'm thinking about it now and I'm remembering how many underwater shots there were in this film, right? And I'm like, I forgot that it actually is. When I think of Jaws, I'm not a fan like you. I've seen it a few times, right? But maybe 2 or 3 times. But that's it. So, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yes,
and I don't remember that jump scare.
Yeah, and if anything, they don't quite edit it quite right because there's a moment of an extra and then Hooper reacts or Richard Dreyfuss reacts. And it almost feels like they missed the beat there. The edit didn't quite get it right. But still, the noise and the head bobbing out, it's like, holy shit.
Remember, that's his first theatrical release, right?
Yep, it was.
Boom. Okay. My number 7, Paul might have an issue with this, but then again, I don't know if he considers this a jump scare or not, or a shit yourself moment.
It's hard to argue this one. If it made you shit yourself, I can't say no, it didn't.
Well, again, I saw it once I was a child. I was in primary school.
That changed everything.
Yeah. Alien.
Yeah, of course.
Heaps the chest burster.
Okay, yep. Heaps of people mentioned the alien chest bursting scene.
You know what got to me as well is that what was weird was that, so when John Hurt is like, and he's like freaking out and stuff, he's got a white t-shirt on, is that right?
Yeah, it does.
And then it just starts blood, and like, why is there blood on something's like, and the thing that was popping out of it, and then it actually like comes through the material and it's thing, was like, was that inside him? And for some reason, it was such an alien concept to me that it was like that, because you thought he was going to get shot or something. I don't know, that's what it seemed like to me, but then it stinks. I was like, oh, what the fuck? And also, that whole thing was just messed up, and for years, I couldn't watch that again. Now it's still pretty upsetting.
Well,
actually.
Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast, he said the scene where Tom Skerritt is running through the ducts on the ship.
Yes.
And what's her name is sort of trying to guide him with the motion tracker.
Yeah.
He's like, coming you out, Dallas. It's coming. It's right behind you. And he turns around and it goes, and it's reaching out towards him.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Is that Alien?
Yes.
Yeah, Alien. Yeah, it was. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's not bad either.
And I think Smiley Samani, our mate, also said his list were all 3 moments from Alien, which includes the chest burster scene and the one I just described.
Yeah.
So there you are. So definitely a good choice and a popular one. Well played, sir.
All good.
My number 7 is one likewise from my childhood that messed me up a bit. It's from Poltergeist. And it's when Robbie is on the bed and then the fucking clown is sitting at the end of his bed in the chair.
Yeah.
And he's uncomfortable. I would be uncomfortable fucking well with it.
Yeah. Didn't he put the thing over it?
Yeah, he tries to throw a jacket over it, right?
Yeah. Oh, and the jacket had Chewbacca on it or something? Or it was like a...
Something like that. I can't remember.
Some shit like that.
Anyway, he rolls over and then you hear the slight sound of like cloth moving or fabric moving.
Mm.
And he looks up and the clown's gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, so he goes down one side of the bed, looks, and then the camera sort of dollies down and as he leans on the closest side of the bed, there's nothing on the bed. And when he sits back up, it's right behind him in the bed.
Fuck,
and wraps its arms around him. And starts,
is that what happened?
Yeah, starts basically strangling him.
As I'm saying it now, I'm remembering it. I'm like, oh, yeah, shit, that's right.
And what's the name? Heather O'Rourke, I think, whatever her name is in the film. I forget. Carol Ann. She's screaming and whatever. And then the mum, meanwhile, starts hearing a scream. And then she gets attacked as well. So it's all happening all at once in the house. And, ugh.
Do you know that this was the first movie, because Spielberg again, yes?
Well, yeah. Toby Hooper directed it.
Toby Hooper directed it.
Steven Spielberg produced it.
Produced it.
The very strong scuttlebutt is Steven Spielberg had a huge hand in directing
it. It seems
like
a Steven Spielberg movie because at the beginning, you know, I remember watching it expecting a horror movie. And then at the beginning, there's the neighbors fighting with the remote control. You know, and I was thinking, what the fuck is this? This is like The Burbs. This is like a funny show. And I was sitting there going, that energy is Spielberg energy. This family, it's a bit fun, it's a bit Goonies, whatever. Yep. And then all this shit happens, right? And it's like, but it's still conceptual, like she's in the TV.
Terrifying.
Oh, no, it is. It's scary as fuck.
Then the tree reaches through as well. I mean, if it was a film, if we went films, that overall, maybe Poltergeist is right up there.
Really?
And again, watched as a kid.
Well, the whole, I remember at the end with the skeletons from the...
Yeah, in the pool.
Yeah, in the pool, right?
Dugout pool.
I remember asking my dad, what the fuck does that mean? And he said, because it was built on a burial site, which they shouldn't have done, all these ghosts happen and that's why they... And I was like, what? I don't know. It just blew my mind. I was like, holy crap. So yeah, anyway. No, good call, man.
Thank you. That's my seven.
My number six is The Conjuring 2.
Ooh, which scene?
The fucking nun, bro.
No!
Really? Oh, sorry. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Describe it.
I kind of want you to do it, but like, okay. Yeah, so
please.
I think it was in the home of the Warrens, there's this fucking like horrible like demonic painting of a nun, which is hung on the wall. And like the director, James Wan, I guess, he's milking the tension here because as dark shadows move across the wall, it positions itself behind the painting of the nun's face. And you're like, what? And then it fucking lunges at Lorraine with his shriek, and I shat my fucking pants.
Yeah, you haven't built it up enough.
Yeah, that's why I want you to do it. Give it to me more.
I think what really sells this scene is, okay, so Lorraine's on edge and whatever else, and there's this, I'm not sure if the painting she's been doing, I guess it is, of this sort of whatever.
This horrible-looking nun.
No. She's not doing the nun painting. She's working on this other painting, which is jumping and shaking around and moving.
Oh, yeah, what she's doing.
And then the shadow. This is what makes the scene work for me. It makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
The shadow comes out of that, sort of along the wall and walks around the room, that sort of brown veneer 70s.
That's right.
Right? Comes
and
to,
it's a really darkly lit scene.
Yep. Comes to the painting, stops behind the thing that you're describing, this demonic looking nun.
Yep.
And then these little fingers come out either side.
That's right.
And grab onto it while Lorraine's sort of frozen in horror watching this unfold. And then there's a pause as you're like, what the fuck is going to happen? And then the face comes out and the whole person comes out holding the nun thing and comes running straight at her.
Yes.
Right?
That's what we shit.
And she fucking freaks out, falls back over into this luggage or whatever it is in the corner of this room. And then she's sort of frantically trying beating off this attack, but it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. Really well done.
Conceptualizing the idea that this horrible painting then comes to life because some shadow went behind it. And the whole, like you said, the fingers are on the frame. That's the shit.
Well, prepare yourself, Wayne, because James Wan's next horror film is coming in September, and the trailer is the best trailer I've seen, definitely this year, although June was very good as well, I have to say. Maybe the best trailer I've seen since The Conjuring trailer.
What's the name of the show?
Malignant.
We don't have to see it.
We are?
I'm not fucking seeing
yes,
it.
Yes, you are.
Fuck you! I've already seen so many horror movies for you, you cunt. Look at what this shit is happening. This whole list is cunt shit I've seen.
You'll watch that trailer, you go, this looks fucking classy as fuck.
The Malignant.
It's called Malignant.
Oh, just Malignant. All right. Yep. All right. I'm checking out after this.
Yep.
Shit.
Okay.
That's a lot for you to say.
Great
the
choice.
Best fucking trailer.
Yeah, great choice, though. Great. I probably built it up too much now, but I thought I was really whoa, I watched it at home alone on the big screen.
I'm never doing that.
With all the lights off, everyone else is going to bed. I'm like, this has got some atmosphere, man.
Oh, fuck.
It's got some atmosphere.
I would never do that shit in the dark. All right.
All right. That was your six. My number six is from, again, I wanted to have a couple of more recent ones, right? I wanted to have things that we've watched recently that really did get under my skin. That made me kind of, because as a card-carrying horror guy, shout out to Gerald, shout out to Drew, and shout out to Brad, and Justin from the Epic Film Guys too. If it can get under my skin, I know it's really got some power. And look, It Chapter 1, I think it's one of the best horror movies ever.
Yes.
Right, Chapter 2 really, really dropped the ball, let's be clear. But Chapter 1 is fantastic, and I know we've had knockdown, drag-out fights on other podcasts about that. But in my mind, it stands. There are several scenes in that film. And
you're talking about, is it the remake you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Low. Go on.
Okay. I don't know which scene you went with, because a lot of people will go with the projector scene.
Nope.
Okay. I went with the scene where Bill is in his house. George has obviously been killed in the first scene in the film. And he sees George running around.
Yeah.
And he sees him run downstairs.
Yeah.
So he goes downstairs and the basement is submerged underwater, dirty
sewer
water.
This is not my scene.
Okay.
Go on.
And George is in the corner of the room behind this sort of cupboard. And he's saying, I'm so sorry, Bill. I didn't want to lose it. You know, and he kind of comes and steps out and he says, but if you come with me, you'll float too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then his face starts to crumble and become demonic. You'll float too. And his voice is changing to, you'll float too. You'll float too. And then out of the water behind him, with his hand up George's back, comes Pennywise with his face just sticking out of this dark green water, right?
Just remember this now. Yep.
And Bill's frozen in horror, as you would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then Georgie crumbles away. And then it's Pennywise himself says, you'll float too. And then he goes, and comes charging across the water, almost like a jet, what do you call it? Jet ski.
Yeah.
With his horrible guttural scream, roar, and shaking as he comes towards him. And Bill just managed to dodge out of the way. There's a great shot from the director, Andy Muschietti, where Pennywise's face flops into view with his mouth extended wide. He tried to bite into Bill.
Mm.
It's really, I can't really creepy.
I think, again, I think my brain has blocked this
so
thing.
So good.
That's, oh shit. The one, okay. Cool.
Oh, yeah. So that's my number six. It could have been any number of scenes, but that was the one that, and, you know, there's another one involving your fridge. So I'm interested to hear which one makes your cut.
I reckon this would be a surprise to you. Nice one. My number six is a film that Paul made me see.
See?
And
sometimes good things come with this.
It's only because it's on the list, son. we saw this at previous co-host Jared's house. It's The Descent.
Oh, yes.
All right. Now, I don't. It's a film where a group of friends go on this expedition into a cave, spelunking like a bunch of idiots. Don't go underground, people. All right. Their expedition turns into a nightmare when then they get trapped inside this cave, and they are pursued by crawlers.
Yeah, what do you want to call them?
Yep. Bloodthirsty predators. I have since found out that these are actually humanoid creatures that, according to the director, are cavemen that never left the cave. They evolved over hundreds of years, living down there in families. They lost their eyesight. They have great hearing and smell, and they function perfectly in pitch black. But there's actually several. I can't pick one just seen along here. But what's bad, good, whatever about
this
film?
Great fun. This was a great night.
So we're watching it, right? And the fucking, like, we're in this personal home theater styles, right? Shit, right?
Right,
so it's like
right theater setup.
Great fucking little theater setting house, right? I'm sort of shitting my pants a bit, right? Because I'm a bit fucking claustrophobic, I'll tell you that right now, all right? And then this movie is kind of triggery as shit for that type of thing. But when the girls are crawling through shit and it's a tight space and it's very, like, feeling like you're like, oh, okay. That's when they turn up against these fucking little humanoid crawler motherfuckers. And I think at several times, I actually remember shitting my pants about three times.
Well, the scene where they turn up, they're standing around, they found the bones.
That's I think that was the one first. Yeah. That was the first one.
And we've got, because it's pitch black, virtually they've resorted to the camera, the night vision camera, and one of the women's holding it.
Yes.
And she sort of pans right, I think, and right behind one of the characters is a...
Yes, that was the first one. And I think what made the night vision camera made it worse. Or something better, worse, whatever.
And then it runs off straight away. Yes. And everyone's like, what the fuck? And then you see a bunch of the other ones. They're all around them. Yep.
This is such a hard movie to
this
watch.
Actually was the sound.
You know, you'd think I hate the soundboard and I'd crap on you for that. But I'm too much of a child and I find shit sounds really funny. So that's not happening.
All right. Well, that's a good choice. And lots of people also had that on their list. My number five is an old school favorite of mine, and we referenced it last week, which is probably why it was at the forefront of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
From Twilight Zone, the movie, I'm talking about Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
Ah, yes,
with John Lithgow.
Which particular scene?
In particular,
scene?
Moment where
tell everyone what it was about.
Yeah, so
about.
It follows a man who's got a massive fear of flying, John Lithgow, in the movie, and he sees this creature on the wing of the plane,
right, and it's shit looking,
hacking at the engine, and then they lose an engine, right. And it's during a big storm, and he keeps trying to warn everybody that there's something doing this, but they think he's having a psychotic break, and they end up sort of handcuffing him and whatever else into place. And at one point, he sort of breaks free, and he reaches over to rip up the blinds, which they pull down, and it's right there in the window of the thing, leering at him. And eventually, he takes a gun and shoots out the window, and which is ridiculous, of course. But anyway, he's hanging out the window, and the thing comes up to him. You think it's going to kill him. And it just waggles its finger in his face, like, you stopped me from having my fun.
Yeah.
And flies off.
I thought the waggle was, you don't shoot me, motherfucker. I'll see you again. That's what I thought the waggle was.
Like,
it wasn't.
You stopped me.
Yeah. Well, you know, you should mention as well, that creature was fucking freaky looking. I remember the big eyes and shit. I was like, oh, fuck.
And last week I miscredited this as being directed by Joe Dante. It was actually directed by George Miller. Aussie George Miller, yet another big tick in his playbook. So
fuck, did he? Did he do that?
Fantastic. Really. At this point, this may be uncomfortable about flying for years. And I didn't fly for years after, not because I was avoiding it, just because I didn't have the opportunity to.
No, I fucking hate flying still, but not because of this.
Yeah, like it was in the forefront of my mind during my first ever flight. Let's put it that way.
Mm.
So yeah, that's my number five.
Bloody hell.
Twilight Zone the movie.
Nice one. My number four is Candyman from 1992, a film which is about...
to get remade. Another film we'll be going
really?
To see. Yeah.
Huh.
It was remade ages ago. Jordan Peele produced it, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, this was one, let's see, 1992. So I was just graduating high school, mm-hmm. right? But still a bitch because I'm a bitch now. So this movie
is... What's a bitch?
Well, Virginia Madsen is a... Look, this is the premise of the film. If you go in front of a mirror and you say Candyman's name, is it five times? Five times, right?
Can't remember.
It's five times. He will then turn up, like appear just behind you and kill you right in the ass, okay? And that's what this film is about. Virginia Madsen is the lead, and who's the band Candyman guy? What's his name?
Tony Todd.
Tony Todd. There you go. And that's what it's about. So there's several scenes in this film where that happens. Now, what made me shit my pants was I was then dared by certain dickheaded cousins and other assholes to do it. Right, friends of the family, and I'm like, yo, man, I've done it. What happened? Obviously, I'm still here. And I'm like,
what? No.
And about for 1 year after that, right? I went every time I looked in the mirror, I'm like. Candyman. Nope! Get out! Get out! I just fucked off, right? I just couldn't handle it, and I still haven't done it, and I'm not doing it. So just so you know, there. It still made me shit my pants, this film. And also, it's a great fucking film.
Good. Then you have no objection to seeing the remake.
Get fucked. So, you know what? Virginia Madsen looked like Sharon Stone back then. Mm. Have a good look at there in that movie. I'm like, that shit is fucking...
Fine. You can have Virginia Madsen.
I'll take her.
I will move on to Sharon.
Go. Yours. We never fight over hoes. All right, here we go. Let's go.
Or women. All right, my number four is from the original Ring film. It's called Ringu.
Ringu.
Japanese film. And it is the iconic scene, which everyone knows now knows, where Sadako crawls out of the television.
Yep.
Right, which the remake did very well as well. This is the first time I saw it. And the other one, I think this film is pretty average. But this scene elevated it up into being memorable. It is so horrifying when this thing comes out, like, because you're totally not expecting it.
Did they film it backwards or something? Is there some weird shit?
I'm not sure.
Whether to me it look weirder, they rolled it backwards. I don't know.
It looks really good. The trope now, the cliche, really, that all Asian ghosts have long dark hair that hang over their face, obscuring their figures. This is the first time I saw it. I'm not saying it is the first time it ever happened because I'm not an authority on Asian horror.
Nor am I, but it amuses me that's the template.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the fact that it comes out of the screen, I think that's really powerful as an idea because, you know, the whole thing, and while I'm never frightened virtually of horror films, is I know it's a movie. This isn't real.
Yes.
What the fuck ever? Come on, you know? Whereas other people can't turn that part of their brain off.
All right. Right? Yes, go on.
Yeah, which I guess would include you, which is why you don't like horror films.
No, and I'll tell you something else. Here's something I've started doing because of you're my friend, right?
Okay.
I'm in the fucking movie, and I'm doing it. And actually, a girl told me to do this. She goes, if you get scared, just remember, just take a step back from the screen and understand there's a camera guy here, there's a camera guy here, there's a guy in a director's chair here. Da, da, da. This is all that. And I'm like, I want to be able to do that, but I still also want to enjoy the film. And in order to do that, you must throw in. Now,
sure.
That's why I'm an easier sell than you. Because I'm already in the movie, even if it's a piece of shit. Whereas you go, fuck this shit and step out of it, right? So that's the thing. I understand, but I can't do it. Oh, I can, but fuck it. It's shit.
Okay. There we are. So that's my number four.
Nice one. My number three is Hereditary.
Oh, which bit?
All right. It's the bit where I'll just go into it, okay?
Yeah, look, spoilers.
Spoilers, right?
Because whatever bit you're going to say, the three bits I can think of are all spoilers.
Exactly. Yep. So, there's a scene where Millie Shapiro, the little girl, Charlie, she's struggling for breath in the back seat of her brother's car because she had some shit happen to her and he's trying to get her to hospital. In order to get air, she pokes her head out the window. And this is brilliantly choreographed because what happens is the car drives past a telegraph pole, connects with it, and beheads the child.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, boom, when it happens. And you in the audience, the shot is on his face, all right? And you hear the thing happen. It stays there the whole time. And he knows what happened, and you know what happened. And everyone's like, oh, and I'm like, get fucked. They didn't just do that, right? Then it stays with him. And you're like, as it's going on, and he just parks in the car. It comes home, parks the car, gets out, walks into the house, goes to bed, man. Because he can't fucking
smash cut.
Dude, it was, I know, it was so.
Smash cut to her head.
And I was like, fuck. But as it went on and on and on for you to see them not showing you what happened, you're like, shit, it did happen. And it made it worse and worse and worse.
It absolutely
is. It's amazingly put together. Fuck, I'll never watch this movie again.
Top 10, something like top 10 most shocking deaths, I guess, but top 10 deaths you just did not see coming. It's not quite the same thing. Like Samuel L. Jackson, I knew would die in that in Deep Blue Sea because he's in Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
But I did not for the life of me think they would kill the kid off.
The kid, dude.
At least until the end and then in an implied fashion. 25 or 30 minutes into this movie. Just totally took me by surprise.
And also, the kid is sort of presented to you as potentially special needs or something, right? Yes. She's like, you never killed that off. You know what I mean? There's just so many fucking things that it fucked with. And you're like, whoa, really use it effectively. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good choice. My number 3, this is where I stuck the nun scene from The Conjuring 2.
Oh, wow, that's huge, bro. Okay. Well, my number 2, so then, is a movie called Event Horizon. Now, 1997, everyone, okay? This is a film about Sam Neill, who's some, like, fucking engineer motherfucker, has to go into space to retrieve, with Larry Fishburne and a bunch of other marine-looking motherfuckers, this ship called the Event Horizon, which he invented, which they lost because it can jump between dimensions and all sorts of shit, right? The film ends up being a horror, and it's a really gross horror, and it's such a gross horror because they find it and it's taken over by hell and it's been to hell and it's all fucked up and it becomes very nasty. I had a cousin of mine actually call me in 1997 on a mobile telephone and say, dude, I just wanted to tell you, Event Horizon fucked me up. All right? Because there's one particular scene where they're actually figuring out, oh, what's happened here, and they're looking at a camcorder of vision from that ship, right? Which they are on, right? But it's from some archive footage.
Camcorder from the future where we can fly spaceships.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. No fucking iPhone, nothing, right? Yeah. Anyway, and they're looking at it. And what the scene is of what happened in that ship, which is basically it's hell. People are getting torn apart. This, that. Shit's going down. And the very end of that scene is someone actually has got eyeballs in his hand. And it's obviously of shit that he ripped out of someone's head.
Wasn't it Sam Neill? Ended up having his eyeballs ripped out?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. But like the was there. And Lawrence Fishburne looks at it and goes, we're leaving. Right? That's the actual scene. But because of the eyeballs, it fucked me up. It just shat me out. I was just like, why have you got his eyeballs? It's just fucking shit, all right? Event Horizon is really, really freaky, everyone. I didn't even realize it was, because it's supposed to be a science fiction.
Oh, it's a sci-fi horror.
Yeah, it's fucking horrible, man. It's really, really harsh. I've never watched it again. I know, for you, it's like a walk in the park. You come this shit. It's fine, right?
But now it's time for a walk in the Black Forest.
Excellent goodies reference. Well done. So yes, Event Horizon, my number 2.
Excellent. So Wayne, as we build towards this number 1, what will it be? Everyone is keenly awaiting it. My number 2 is one of the best ever death scenes in any film ever. It's from one of the greatest films ever. It's from The Thing. It is when Doc goes to work on Norris, trying to revive him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. And we're wondering who the thing is amongst his crew.
This is a good one.
Norris has basically had a heart attack. He's fallen over. And so he's trying to do clear. You know, checks his heart. Again, clear. Again, checks his heart. Mm-hmm. Rule 3. Clear. And then as he goes to stick the paddles in again on his chest, Norris's chest gapes open from the sternum. And it's with big teeth on either side
it's
of
teeth.
It. Doc's arms plunge in, the teeth close, and it basically bites off both his hands at the wrist. And
that was what was weird about this. Not only does your body gape open, it turns into a mouth, and a mouth that bites people's arms off. What the fuck? I remember having a problem with this first.
Just brilliant.
It is brilliant, but like for it to appear so quickly, it is amazing, actually. But when the head, you know, the head. And the
Norris's head, they burn it immediately, and Norris's head stretches and falls off, and then spider legs come out of it.
And it becomes like a spider head.
Yeah. And right? Palmer just turns around and sees and goes, you gotta be fucking kidding me. One of the best lines ever.
If that line wasn't in there, I was like, this is bullshit. I was seeing it going, what? It's a spider. I don't know if I like it. You gotta be fucking kidding me. I'm like, all right, now I'm back into the guy.
You don't like it. You're not meant to. This is
no, alien. But I was stepping out of the movie going, nah. And then the guy said, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I'm like, oh, okay. They find it ridiculous too. All right, I'm back in. That's what I felt. So
amazing scene. And just completely and utterly shocking.
Boom. Definitely.
Absolute. Without doubt. No question. The second biggest time that I have ever.
there we go.
Sorry. Probably overplayed that a little bit, but Wayne keeps laughing, and I think, oh, maybe I can warm him to the soundboard. All right, give us a recap, and then Wayne, and your number 1.
Cool. Number 10 was Scary Bilbo from Lord of My Ring. Number 9, Watership Down, scratching up rabbits and shit. Signs, the first, like, alien shit. 7, the alien chestburster, in from Alien. 6, The Conjuring 2, none shit. Number 5, The Descent.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Pretty much all of that shit, but also the you know, night vision shit. Number 4 was Candyman, mirror shit. And number 3, Hereditary, the beheading shit. And number 2 is Event Horizon, eyeball shit. And my number 1, people. I'm sure it'll eventually stop being funny. And for many out there, it already has.
I think that ship's out for everyone but you and I.
Dude, my number 1 is it. But here's the scene.
Okay.
Okay?
Oh, yeah,
so the young girl character, I can't remember her actual actress's name, but she is fucking like her, Beverly was her name, right? And she's basically getting chased around by her stepdad guy who's basically about to, in a house, grab her and seemingly either hurt her or molest her or something really awful, really horrendous, right? And she's running around and he's chasing her and she's kicking him, fighting him off a bit, but then he gets back up and then finally she locks herself in the bathroom and he's like, doom, 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 walks in, find a thing, kicks the door open. She's behind the bathtub fucking screen door, whatever. And he's like, here he comes. And we're like, oh my God. He opens the fucking screen door. She smacks him over the head with what looks like a sink, a ceramic sink or some shit. Boom! Hits him right out, knocks him out, hits the floor. We're like, oh, yes! She fucked him up. And she's like, and she steps out of the bath and she looks down at him and he's fucked up on the floor. Then she turns to her right and there's a massive fucking clown. Like,
Pennywise
is oversized, filling up the doorway. So you're like, holy shit! Because the whole time I'm thinking to myself, oh, this molester motherfucker's gonna kill. Maybe Pennywise will kill him. That'll be great. And then, no, she has to save herself. Then Pennywise fucks with her. What a cunt. And it made me shit my pants because I really didn't expect an oversized clown.
You're like, yeah, you fucked that
exactly.
Guy.
Exactly. Oh! It really did. And you know, and if it was a normal sized Pennywise, that would have been bad enough. But this was, its head was as big as the door. Oh, shit. I crapped my pants. So it was a big fat shit.
There it is.
There you go. That was my number 1, people.
All right. All right. My 10 through 2. Number 10, Samuel L. Jackson's death in Deep Blue Sea. 9, the tripwire going off in 1917. 8, Ben Gardner's head in Jaws. 7, the whole clown scene with poor Robbie in Poltergeist. Number 6, my it choice, which was when Bill goes down to the basement chasing his little brother Georgie. From Twilight Zone, the movie Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. Pretty much the whole thing, but particular when John Lithgow sees the thing at the window.
Mm-hmm.
From Ringu, when Sudoku comes out of... Sudoku? Yeah, that's
Sudoku.
That's exactly what made me think it. Comes out of the TV screen at the end. You finally see how she's been killing people. From The Conjuring 2, the nun scene, or as Wayne said, nun shit. And number 2, Doc's death in The Thing, Norris's chest opening. And my number 1, unquestionably, still, I know exactly where I was and what I was doing when I watched this.
Go on.
Circa 1990, maybe 1991.
Oop, yep.
Home, parents have got friends around. And it's a weekend. They're like, you can go to our bedroom and lay on the bed and watch a movie because I had a little TV and a video.
So this is someone else's house?
My mum and dad's
house. Okay.
Bedroom. Like, as opposed to their go to your bedroom because you can't watch anything because I didn't have a TV in my
room.
That's
right. Yeah.
So off I go over there. I'm lying on the bed. I watch The Exorcist 3.
You've got to be shitting me. How old are you? You're 15, 10.
15 or 16.
15.
Yep.
Fuck that shit.
I would say, yeah, we're 15.
Now, The Exorcist 3.
Which in and of itself is not that great a film, but this scene elevates it exponentially in my mind. Certainly better than the piece of shit Exorcist 2, The Heretic, but obviously not a patch on the original. And this scene there, it follows, is they're in a mental institution and there's a guy in there who claims to be possessed by this demon.
Sure.
And we're watching and following this pretty nurse on her rounds as she, you know, one long corridor shot. She walks up to her room, checks in on the patient in there, moves on down to the next side, walks across. And this goes on for what feels like an eternity. And I'm like, all right, anyway. She gets to the end of the corridor. She walks off to the left. Then she comes walking out to the right and the camera shot, right? So it's a long shot way back at the other end of the corridor.
Yep.
Smash zooms in as this sheeted figure with garden shears walks out behind her with the shears at head level. And they walk past the end of the corridor and out of shot. And to this discordant again.
Yeah.
And then we get a shot of a beheaded statue outside.
Oh, shit, really?
Like the next day thing. That was so jarring and showed. Now, John Amento from the Planet Comics podcast, he basically said, this film was as close as I've ever come that scene to pooping my pants.
Really?
100% with him.
You know, everyone, this is a little insight. There's a shot in the movie Reap. Oh, that we made when we were like 23 or some shit, right? And Paul directed that film. And there's actually a shot where someone comes out from... Remember, there's a car leaving.
Yep.
And from the side shot, the car leaves. And what you see is someone in the backseat. Just a second of it moving forward. Ring! And then the shot cuts.
Yep.
You got that from here, didn't you?
Oh, I don't know from this particular scene, but maybe.
Yeah, because, that's interesting. It's so interesting. Okay. All right. There you go. Where it all began, everyone.
There we are. The Exorcist 3. Any honorable mentions, Wayne, or was that enough?
I actually had the Poltergeist one and A Quiet Place. No, just bits in The Quiet Place. No, that's it. That's it.
The Sixth Sense for me. The Grudge.
When you found out?
No, The Sixth Sense. When he's taking a piss and something walks past him in the background, and that scared me.
Oh,
made
right.
me jump.
The kid's tent. That was good. Yes. Yeah, that was good.
The Grudge. That.
I don't know this one. So listeners are going to have to. What are you doing? Stop doing that. It's very annoying. You're an asshole.
It's also the noise that the ghost makes.
Yeah, I know that's what you're doing, but it's horrible.
It really puts you on edge. It really. Any scene where people move or things move unnaturally, like spider walking backwards and whatever else, that shit does do my head in.
I'm surprised you didn't put Enemy, the end of that movie.
Oh, the big fucking
spider.
The big spider.
Like,
I would have if I just hadn't of it. I mean, it grossed me out, but.
No, it's unsettling. It's like, fuck. Yep. Yeah, so.
Yeah, and also any scene where things move closer once lights sort of flick out and come back when they're closer, that shit always. That's a good little effect. I like it. Lights Out being an example of that. All right, that's Alice. What about yours? We wrap up every episode of The Countdown with your feedback on the topic at hand in a segment that's called The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Chris Uni, the patron to the show, said in the movie Warrior, when I got a text from a girl I hadn't seen in months saying she was a few months pregnant. Also, the ending of Friday the 13th, when the first time I saw it and Kid Jason jumped out, The Conjuring, clap, clap,
mm-hmm.
and Insidious during the reminiscing of the dream. Anthony on Twitter said, the car scene Hereditary, so there you are, Wayne.
Okay, excellent.
SB78 on Twitter said, I watched The Ring around a mate's house. When I got home and walked through the door, the phone was ringing.
Also, he'd just seen his mate's ring. Okay.
Mario in the bar said, the end scene of Carrie still has me running out of the room each time. That's when she's over the top of Carrie's grave and the arm shoots out and grabs her arm.
I don't think I've ever seen this, man, but it sounds like something you'd watch.
Hi, Zombie Kitty said, the man falling down the spiral staircase while the rest of the cast are downstairs in wreck. I had to pause the film to calm myself down. That scream as he fell was just haunting.
I've heard tell of this wreck.
Great, great film. Garth Dimmler gave me a little graphic montage. The scene where the devil thing is behind Patrick Wilson in Insidious.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara Hershey's telling him.
That ugly-ass thing?
Yeah, the scene I described in the Exorcist 3 and the scene from Wreck at the end where the main character gets dragged off into the darkness.
Really?
Trisha Lawler, patron of the show, said, when Toni Collette is banging her head at the attic door in Hereditary, I literally screamed at the top of my lungs in terror.
Yep, fair enough.
It might be the most scariest moment in cinematic history for me. In Housebound, when the guy pokes his head out of the wall, and when the judge answers the phone in Law Abiding Citizen. Do you remember that?
Did something happen? Did something blow up?
Clearly. I don't know.
I remember Gerard Butler.
Anyway, that's it. So do I. And then Jamie Foxx, right?
Jamie Foxx, yeah.
Mel Walker said, Alice in Wonderland, the 1985 TV movie, the scenes of the Jabberwocky in the second half were terrifying and nightmare-inducing to me as a child. Session 9, at the end when you hear the last tape when the girl goes through all her multiple personalities till she gets to Simon. The warbly sound of her tape and her voice suddenly changing to an adult man's voice is fucking chilling.
Yeah, I remember that.
And The Ring, not the scene you're thinking of. It's a reel of how they found that girl in the closet.
Okay.
Nicole Davis had Paranormal Activity. The first time we see something move in the couple's bedroom, the sound design was designed to build up the tension. And the audience is trying to watch everyone in the frame at once. That door moves just a little bit, but it's enough to confirm there's some kind of supernatural entity that is active while they sleep.
Did you like that one?
I did like the first one.
Yeah, okay, it's cool.
Annihilation, where everyone just has to sit there while the scariest bear that's ever been wandered through the room.
Okay.
The scariest bear that ever bared, she wrote. Very good. And the shower scene from Psycho. It was on TV and I think I was 6. For the next several years, I absolutely refused to take showers and would only take tub baths. More than 40 years later, I still get nervous in the shower sometimes.
Really?
Wow.
That was black and white too, man.
That's quite of making the impression. Second last one, Chad Backler said, the scene in Pet Sematary when the kid slices through the Achilles tendon from under the bed with a straight razor.
Yeah, that was shit.
Yep. Or the scene in the diner in The Hitcher with the french fries / fingers, both at the top of my nope list.
Hitcher. I remember this.
Yeah, Rutger Hauer.
Rutger.
And David Powell, patron extraordinaire, said, I'm going to avoid the jump scares because I feel we've done this list before. Well, funny you should say that, David.
Really?
Because episode 167 of the show, we did the top 10 jump scares. I found that out way too late to change it.
Hashtag ran out of ideas.
So we've revisited them, and one of the reasons I put some different ones on my list.
Well, this one is like, it scared you because some of my shit isn't necessarily jump scare. It's just ill.
Yeah, that one's top 10 films that scared us the most, I think. And there's a lot of these ones
on
both of us, I would imagine.
Fine.
Monster reveal in After Midnight. By this point, the film, you've come to agree with Hank's friends that he's imagining things. Then boom. Okay, don't remember that one.
Me either. We're gone.
The Fury's axe face kill. If you've seen it, you'll know the one. This is a slow motion poop yourself scene as the camera just doesn't pull away for what feels like forever. And number one, the cell horse scene. This floor would be the first time in cinema. So shocking and unexpected and so horrific.
Now,
he did leave a link here if you wanted to check that out.
Have you seen the cell?
I did.
J-Lo?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people say to me that this movie is really unsettlingly fucking disturbing.
Mm. I think she goes to the mind of a serial killer, right?
Yeah, but it's all fucked up though, right?
Yeah, from vague memory.
Did you like it?
I think it was fine.
Okay.
I've never watched it more than once though, so maybe I need to revisit it. Thank you, David. Thank you everybody for your feedback. We're sorry if we didn't get to you, but obviously there's only so much we can do. Episode. We really appreciate you getting involved in the show. All right, Wayne, how do the listeners get in touch with us and give us their feedback on the topics at hand?
Google the Countdown Podcast and find all our socials. Send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or buy some merch if you'd like to support the channel at countdownmerch.com.
Very nice. You can also hit us up on Twitter at @thecountdownpc, like and follow the show through Podbeam where we host, and check out the Comic Confidential Radio Network, ccradio.com.au for the aforementioned Comic Confidential show. And believe.
Links are all in the show notes for all those things I said.
Yes, for all of them, including the Facebook list committee where we get most of our feedback. And you can vote on who wins their lists each week. All right, Wayne, what's happening next week then for episode 331 of The Countdown?
We are going to do the top 10 TV miniseries of all time.
Right, and this was an idea from David Powell. So thank you, David, for
DP.
That. Now, obviously, we know a lot of our friends and listeners are in lockdown at the moment, particularly in Australia, but perhaps in other parts of the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our thoughts go out to you. Look after yourselves. Stay safe. And here is a topic that hopefully we can give you some things to seek out and watch that can while away some of those lockdown hours.
That's right.
For you.
All right.
So all the very best. Okay. And that's it for today's topic. Episode 330, the top 10 films that made us crap/shit our pants.
Punch it out.
Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Do the shit sound. What's wrong with me?
Why do I just kowtow to your demand?
So
that
good.
One, he said. That one. We will catch you next time.
Yeah.